And so 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse number 12 today. And we sang about it just now, but are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? In other words, are you saved? And you, if you ever ask someone that, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Are you going to heaven? You can ask it many ways. But it's interesting when you ask someone that knows that they are saved, the kind of answer that they give you, right? I mean, how often when you ask someone, do you know that you are a Christian? Do you know that you're saved? And many times you get a whole bunch of different answers. You know, oh, I grew up in church. I'm a good person. You know, I'm working on it. But isn't it reassuring when you talk to someone and they say, I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I ask Him to come to my heart, forgive me my sin, and knowing that you're saved. And that's what God would want us to know. And so we're in 1 John chapter 5 and looking down at verse number 12, and we'll read down to verse number, let's read to verse number 15 and talking about our salvation today with this basic training. So 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12, the Bible says, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Very specific and very clear. The Son is a capital S referring to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It says in verse number 13, These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, what's the next word? Know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. You know that God wants you to know that you have eternal life? Again, there's not many people that would say that they know they have eternal life, and also that they would say that and would have that confidence in the Word of God. Some people say, well, no one can know that. Well, based on the Bible, you can. Right? Based on God's Word. Not based on me, my religion, my church, but based on God and His Word, we can know that we have eternal life. How? That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Not believing in me, a church, religion, or works, but believing on the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 14, it says, This is the confidence that we have in Him, that eternal security, that confidence in Jesus Christ, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And we know that He hear us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Again, over these next 8 weeks, we're going to talk about the basic training, the basics of what it means to be a Christian. And we could take a whole number of subjects, but we're going to take the basics from salvation to prayer, to your Bible, the church, to giving, and soul winning, a number of those, and get that foundation. What I encourage you, barring sickness, but to be here every week for those 8 weeks. Whether you've been saved for a month, a year, or 10 years, or 50 years, there is so much of the foundations of the Christian life that we just have to continually reestablish our foundations, our beliefs, and our fundamentals based on the Word of God. So we're going to take some time to go over that. Why don't we have a word of prayer as we get into the lesson today? Lord, I thank you for this time to meet in Sunday school as we get to look over these basic training lessons that every Christian should know. And first of all, knowing for sure that we're saved and on our way to heaven. Please speak to our hearts and help us today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So why do we go over the basic training lessons? First of all, because many times we have new Christians that have never established their beliefs based on the Word of God. And there may be things that we have not specifically gone through and taught, and we'll take a full lesson to teach on these subjects. So maybe there's a new Christian that does not know what the Bible says about that. Maybe there's an older Christian that we just need to go back to those fundamentals and to reestablish our beliefs, to know what the Bible says, where to find it. And I believe another reason we go through these basic training lessons is because I believe that every Christian should be able to know what they believe and why, and be able to find it in the Word of God and explain it to someone else. I believe in many ways the reason that Christians are so tossed about with every wind of doctrine and going, changing different Bibles and churches and people that come from good, solid Bible preaching churches because we're not taking the Bible for ourselves, reading it, studying it, finding the scripture verses to base our own personal beliefs and convictions based on the Word of God. The Bible says that every Christian should be able to give an answer of the hope that lieth in him with meekness and fear. that you should be able to take your Bible and to show someone what you believe and why. Now, can I say that every time someone's come to me and said, what does the Bible say about this? To be honest, I kind of get nervous when people do that. You know, I've had a question for you. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm probably supposed to have an answer for you. And there's no one that knows everything about the Bible. I was talking to someone recently about understanding the Bible, and they said, I just don't know the Bible, and I should know it better. And I said, well, I think about it this way. I think sometimes we think, well, I got saved, I should understand all the Bible immediately. Now, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and He illuminates and opens up the Word of God to you now that you're saved. But I think about it this way. A child going into kindergarten or preschool, just because they've gone to school for a few months or a year doesn't mean they know everything. It's going to take 12, 13 years of grade school, and then after that, many times, to learn a profession, you're going to 2, 4 years, 8 years of college. But we're always learning and growing in our knowledge, right? So when it comes to the Bible, don't be discouraged. You think, well, I don't know everything in the Bible. Well, first of all, God wrote the Bible, so no one's going to understand everything in every part of the Bible. Now, we should study it and learn it, but it takes work at reading, at studying and memorizing, being under the teaching of the Word of God. In other words, it takes time to understand God's Word and to ask God to help you to learn it. But I want to encourage every Christian with this, to know what you believe and why, to be able to find scripture verses to back up what you believe, and to be able to simply explain that to someone else. I believe that's important for every Christian to know that. So again, whether you're a young Christian or an older Christian, that we would know what we believe and why, be able to find it in the Word of God. With the basic training lessons, I think about it this way. We have the foundation of the Christian life, and the foundation of the Christian life is our salvation, right? Our salvation. That's the foundation. You see a building that's being built, and they start with a solid foundation. And they build those footers, and they put in the rebar, and they frame it out, and they pour the concrete, and they work a lot at that foundation. You could have the most beautiful building in the world, but without a strong foundation, that tornado comes by. They had a tornado, what was it, outside of Red Bluff somewhere? I heard a day or two ago, and I think they said it was the first tornado hitting down. Was it in the U.S.? Was in all the U.S. that hit down right here, 30 minutes or so from us. You could have the nicest, most beautiful building, tall, beautiful, without a strong foundation. It's coming down. It's just a matter of time. That thing's gonna topple over. And as a Christian, you can try to build your life as a Christian, but if you don't have the foundation, you're knowing that you're saved, knowing that your salvation is secure in Jesus Christ, then your building is going to wobble. You're going to try to keep building up your faith, but again, if you don't have that foundation of knowing you are saved based on the Word of God, faith in Jesus Christ, that building is going to struggle to stay strong and stay true. Your salvation, again, is the foundation of your Christian life. There are so many false religions today, so many false Bibles today, so many false churches today, and there are so many so-called different ways to get to heaven. You could talk to 50 different churches, Bibles, and they're going to have their own way to get to heaven. Here is the single important difference on whether it is a true salvation or a false salvation, and that is based on if salvation is based on faith or works. Faith, salvation in Jesus Christ alone, not Jesus Christ plus something else, because that is works, not Jesus plus you need to do these things, but false salvation is always built on works. You have to go to church, you have to pay money, you have to go through these classes, you have to get baptized, you have to do all these things. That is no longer salvation. So again, there's many false religions, false gods, false Bibles, false ways to heaven. What does the Bible say about how to get to heaven? Today I want to take the subject of knowing that we are saved, and I want to look at the whosoever and the alls of salvation. Are you thankful that salvation is available to all? To everyone. And there's so many verses in regards to our salvation that talk about whosoever and all, that it applies to everyone. Because guess what? When it comes to salvation, no one is exempt. We all fall into the same category, that we all get to heaven the same way. Everyone is saved the exact same way. So we're going to look at the whosoever and the alls of salvation, how the Bible way to heaven applies to every generation, every race, every person, every religion. Everyone will get to heaven or not get to heaven the same way. So let's look at that today. And I'm going to have you turn to another scripture verses, maybe write some notes, maybe underline, whatever it may be. But trying to, again, establish our faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you may know that you have eternal life, that you know. And maybe today you sit through the lesson and think, man, I've struggled with knowing for sure that I'm saved. And I pray that by the end of the lesson, you would say, okay, I know that I'm saved based on the Word of God. Or you would say, I'm not really saved. And if you know you're saved, to build your faith on your salvation. And if you're not, that God would convict you to settle that matter today. So first of all, we're going to look at the fact that everyone has sinned. And we're going to turn to Romans for a number of the verses today. So again, if you turn in your Bibles, and we'll do this kind of as a class setting somewhat. And Romans, and I want you to look first of all in chapter 5. And we're going to turn to maybe 10 different verses. We'll see how many of the points we get through today. We're going to get through all of it because we have another lesson next week. But we'll see how many of the verses we'll get to together. But in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12, we're going to look at this, that everyone has sinned. In Romans 5 verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." The first and most important point when it comes to salvation is that everyone is a sinner. That everyone has sinned. Every priest, every pastor, every single person has sinned. To the people that you would think, I'm sure they've never done anything wrong. Well, yes, they have. You ever met that person before that says, I've never done anything wrong? You think, yes, you have. You're lying to me right now. Everyone has sinned. You know why? Because God says that all have sinned. People have a problem with this point, kind of backing up a little bit and saying, well, why would God create sin? Why would God make man as sinners? Well, God did not create sin, and God did not create man as sinners. God made Adam and Eve perfect people, the only two perfect people put in a perfect garden, and he gave them one rule. And they broke that one rule. And to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God created perfect people in a perfect place with one rule, but created with something called a free will, with a choice. The same free will that each and every one of us have. He created them perfect. And for some period of time, they lived a perfect life until they chose to sin. And once they sinned, they took upon themselves that sin nature, and that sin nature is passed on from them to their children and so on all the way down to us. And everyone is born a sinner. So we understand that everyone has sinned. God warned them. He said, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely, what? You'll surely die. They would die physically one day, but spiritually their soul died. And they would need to trust Christ as their Savior in order to go to heaven as well. Every single person is a sinner. Go back to Romans chapter 3, just a page or two back. In Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23, again looking at the all or whosoever's, it applies to everyone. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That everyone has sinned, every single person, and come short of the glory of God. That kind of gets to our next point, but our sin nature is what keeps us from get to heaven on our own. This point is so important, again, because so many believe in a works salvation. I'm working at getting saved. You know, you've heard that, I don't know how many times. Well, I'm working on it. No, you don't work at getting saved. Salvation is a free gift of eternal life. Nothing you can work for to get, to keep, or to earn. It is free. And the Bible says we are all sinners. We come short of the glory of God. In Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. So very clearly in the Bible, God tells us that there is not a single person that is perfect. Not a single person. We are all sinners. Too many people think, well, I haven't done anything really that bad. I mean, sometimes people think, well, sin is only like killing people. And I've not killed anyone, so I'm not a sinner. Truly, that's what many people think. Well, I've not done a number of other horrible things, and so I've not sinned. You know, sin is pride, lying, laziness. These are all sins, and so everyone has sinned. The Bible says if you're guilty in one point of the law, then you're guilty in all. If you've broken the law in one point, you're guilty of all. You've broken the law of God. One sin makes someone a sinner. So everyone has sinned. That's the first point that we must understand about the subject of salvation. Next, we're going to look at this. Everyone is condemned to hell. I want you to look at John chapter 3 and verse number 18, please. Now that we know that we're all sinners, we'll come back to Romans here in a little bit. In John chapter 3 and verse number 18, we're going to look at the punishment, the condemnation that we deserve, the punishment of a place called hell. The Bible says in John 3:18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. That's speaking of Jesus Christ, of him. But he that believeth not is what? What's the next two words? Condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And again, as we looked in 1 John, it says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. You either have salvation or you don't. No one's halfway to salvation. No one's mostly there or partly saved. You either have it or you don't. The Bible says, if you believe on Jesus Christ, he that believeth on him is not condemned to hell. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20. I'm checking your books of the Bible, understanding, and last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11. Actually, we'll go down to verse number 14 for sake of time. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 14. And looking at this, that everyone is a sinner, but because we're sinners, we all have the punishment, the condemnation that we deserve hell. No one deserves heaven. No one is good enough to earn the favor of God. So verse number 14, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And look at this, and whosoever, again, looking at the whosoever again, that whosoever means anyone. It means all. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When your name is written in the book of life, that means you're saved. That gives you entrance into heaven. But if your name is not written in the Lamb's book of life, there is no salvation. The Bible says those that their names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire, into that place called hell. Do you know that you cannot truly read your Bible and get rid of the existence of hell? Many religions have done that. They say, well, hell's not a real place. It's not a real place. Some people say, well, it's hell on earth or a place of darkness or just separation from God. Hell is a very real, literal place, a place of torments, separation from God. But the worst part about it, I believe, is this, that hell is forever. If hell was temporary, you could endure it for some period of time. But hell is eternal, just as heaven is eternal as well. Once you get to one place or the other, as Luke chapter 16 says, there's a great gulf fixed so that you cannot pass from one to the other. Some try to re-explain hell that it's not real. Some would say, well, hell, okay, it's real, but you can work your way out of there. You spend some period of time there and you work your way out of hell. and some have made up the pagan belief of purgatory, that there's a middle place, that you go to purgatory for a while and you kind of pay your dues, or the wicked belief that somehow you can work your way out of hell or purgatory, or that you could pay for someone that's already there to get to heaven. That is wicked. That is so wicked to play on the heartstrings of those that their loved ones have not trusted in Christ to pay their way out of hell. First of all, it's not possible. But hell is not a fun place. It's a place of torment. It's a place of separation from God. Hell is forever. It's not temporary. Everyone that's a sinner is condemned to hell. That's you and me. In our sinful condition, we deserve the punishment of hell. No one deserves heaven. Not a single person would say, God, I'm good enough to go to heaven. God says, no, you're not. You deserve that punishment of a place called hell. Romans 6 and verse number 23, we'll turn back there, please. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, many of you would know the verse already. Romans 6 and verse 23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wage or the punishment of sin is death. I don't have to like it. I don't have to agree with it. But God's the one that makes the rules. And he says all have sinned, and there's a punishment for sin, and that punishment is to a place called hell. No one can bring their sin to heaven. We would pollute heaven. There was sin in heaven at one point, Satan, Lucifer, and he was cast out of heaven to a place called hell. So we see that everyone is a sinner. Everyone is condemned to hell. But the next we see that Jesus died for everyone. I won't have you turn to this verse, John 3:16. I think you know it. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible says, whosoever believeth in him. Again, I'm thankful for the whosoever's of salvation because that includes me. If only those could be saved that lived during Jesus' time, then we have no hope. If only Jewish people could be saved, then I have no hope. If only certain nations, races, religions, and all that, then we don't have hope. But Jesus Christ said, whosoever, that anyone that calls on his name shall be saved. He died for everyone. 2 Peter 3:9 says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There are certain people I feel like they've done such horrible things. In my mind, I think, how could God save them? How could God forgive them of the horrible, wicked things that people do? But here's the thing, that God said he's not willing that any should perish. See, people would say this, well, how could a loving God ever send someone to hell? Well, a loving God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for the sins that we deserve, right? So he did everything that he could. He paid the way. He said, all you have to do is receive the gift, and you'll go to heaven. Trust in Jesus Christ. How simple is salvation? And if you don't trust in Jesus Christ, God said, I've done everything. And if you've rejected Jesus Christ, the only option is hell. So he died for everyone, that Jesus loves everyone. See, I could give my life to save one person's life, maybe. I could give my life to maybe save a number of people's lives. But I could not give my life to save a whole nation or generations. Only Jesus Christ could do that. So Jesus Christ, he died for everyone. Next, everyone gets saved the same way. You ever heard someone say this? Well, what is your salvation experience? Or how did you get saved? Again, if you ever ask someone, do you know for sure that you are saved and go into heaven? Just wait for a plethora of different answers of what you may hear about how someone says that they know that they are saved. And sometimes you hear the stories of someone that says, I was driving my car and I saw a bright light and it pulled me to the side of the road and I was for sure going to die, but God saved me. I know I'm going to heaven. And I think, that's not salvation. They'd say, I was on my deathbed and I was lifeless and my heart had stopped and I was revived and God gave me life again. I know I'm saved and going to heaven. Well, that's not salvation. Someone may say, well, I grew up in church. I've been a good person. You get a whole number of different answers. Salvation is the same way. How we get to salvation might be different. For some that grew up in church, out of church, young, old, whatever it may be, we all might get to Jesus from different avenues, but we all get saved the same way, through Jesus Christ alone. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then he says this, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Guess what that no man means? No man. Not a single person will get to heaven any other way but by Jesus Christ. Everyone gets saved the same way. There is one true God. There's one true Savior. There is one heaven. There's one true Bible. And there's one way to get to heaven. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Many people are going the wrong direction. Many people right now are following false religions, guess what, with good intentions, with a good heart, with pure motives, but they're following a false religion to destruction, to hell. How sad is that? But the Bible says that straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Jesus Christ said it's available to all, but not everyone's going to come to Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, I think you're in Romans right now. Look at Romans 10 and verse number 13. I'm going to have to hurry. Romans 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you thankful that God's arms are open wide and says, anyone that comes to me, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, asking for salvation, his arms are open wide. And if you receive Jesus Christ, he will receive you into his arms and knowing that you are saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. Again, no one will get to heaven by their good works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, you don't need to turn there. I believe the two greatest verses that disprove a works salvation and prove salvation is by faith alone is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, is by faith, not by works. The Bible says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Everyone gets saved the same way. Again, we may get to the Savior from different paths or avenues of life, but we all come to the cross the same way, realizing I'm a sinner. I deserve the punishment of hell. Jesus Christ died in my place on the cross to pay for my sins, and you receive that gift of salvation, not of works, but by faith. The last point today is this. Anyone who receives salvation can never lose it. Aren't you thankful for that? Once you receive salvation, you can never lose it. As we looked in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13, it says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Turn over to John chapter 10, please. We'll look at these verses lastly today, and I'll give you a few more thoughts as we conclude. But in John chapter 10, in verse number 27, these are great verses talking about your eternal security. Eternal security means this: once you're saved, you're always saved. Once you're part of the family of God, God will never kick you out, and you can never get out. Kind of like the mafia. Once you're in a good way. In John chapter 10, verse 27, it says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them, what's the next two words? Eternal life. Not temporary, but it's eternal life. And it says, and they shall what? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's you, that's anyone else, that's Satan. No one can pluck you out of the hands of God. Then he says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Eternal life. Once saved, always saved. Yesterday, I was picking up a few things from the grocery store over at Save Mart, And it just so happened to be that I walked by the end cap on one of the aisles, and I looked up for a moment, and I looked up there, and it was a whole side shelf of waters. And I'm not really sure why they had waters there, but I took a picture of it, and I stopped because the name of the brand was Eternal Water. Eternal Water, and I thought, that's kind of creepy, all right? And it says $2.99 for Eternal Water at Save Mart. So if you want Eternal Water, you can go get it there. Remember when Jesus Christ met the woman at the well in John chapter 4, I believe it is? And he met the woman at the well, and he said, would you give me water? And he said, you should have asked of me, and I would have given you living water, and you'll never thirst again. See, no one can give you eternal water, eternal life, other than Jesus Christ. But once you receive salvation, you can never lose it. See, many times as Christians, we receive salvation, but many times as Christians, why do many Christians doubt or ask to get saved again? Because many times we get saved and we wander away from God. And we say, God, I've wandered away from you. I must need to get saved again. Once saved, always saved. You can never lose your salvation. It's a gift of eternal life, the Bible says. You know that God wants you to know that you have eternal life. Again, knowing that you have that foundation of eternal life that is strong and it's secure and there's nothing that's gonna fall apart with it. You know, your life may seem to fall apart at times. Things may be a struggle, but you should always be able to go back to the fact that you know you're saved. Can you go back to that time, back to that place where you realized in your heart that conviction of God that I know that I'm a sinner? I can go back to that Saturday night as a 9-year-old boy going to bed thinking, I know if I believe this with all my heart, I knew if I died that night that I'd wake up in hell. I remember going to the church the next morning and thought, I don't care what I have to do, where I have to go, who I have to talk to. And I was the shyest kid. My face would turn red if you called my name from the back row. But they said, if you want to know for sure that you're saved, would you come forward and we'll have someone show you from the Bible. And I got up from the back side section and walked forward, and a man took me to a side room and showed me how I could know for sure that I could be saved and go to heaven. I bowed my head and closed my eyes and simply the best I knew how asked Jesus Christ to save me. I knew I was a sinner. I knew I deserved the punishment of a place called hell. I knew that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven, and that I asked simply by faith for him to come to my heart and save me. Nothing added to it, nothing taken away from it, salvation in Jesus Christ alone. Do you know for sure that you're saved? Maybe you don't remember the date. Maybe you don't remember everything that you said when you got saved. Those parts are not important, but do you remember remembering that conviction of your sin? Knowing that if you died, you would split hell wide open. But that Jesus Christ loves you, he died for you, that you had to simply ask him by faith to come into your heart. That is salvation. Period, plain and simple. No one can take that away from you. You can't lose it. That is salvation alone. Again, the Bible says that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Do you know that you have eternal life? Can you bet your life on it? Can you bet your eternity on it that you know you have eternal life? If you don't know it, don't chance it. 99% sure of your salvation is not good enough. You need to know it, and it's faith in Jesus Christ, not in you, not in a prayer, not in good works, but faith in Jesus Christ. You see, I know that I'm saved. Well, can you find that in the Word of God? Could you explain it to someone else? Could you show them how to be saved? Our salvation and our eternal security is the most important thing of a Christian's life. Can you go back to that time, back to that place, say, I know that I'm saved based on the Word of God when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? Head bowed and eyes closed, and we'll take an offering here in a moment. We thank you, Lord, for this time to have in Sunday school today with the foundation of knowing for sure that we're saved. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this room that would say, I don't know for sure that I'm saved, I cannot say 100% sure. There's a doubt, there's a question in my mind. With no one looking around, can we take just a moment in Sunday school, and maybe you'd raise your hand and say, I don't know that I'm saved, but I'd like to know it. as you preach from the Bible that God convicted in my heart, I really truly don't know that I'm saved. Would you slip your hand up and then put it down? Say, I don't know that I'm saved. I hope and I pray that in your heart you've confirmed that in your life and confirmed it again, knowing that you are saved, having confidence in Him. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for eternal life. Please bless this Sunday school hour and the service to follow. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.